castle today. I like a copy of God's work offered to you quite freely. Yours simply for the taking. It's the word of God written, the New Testament of the Bible, offered to you quite freely. No cost or obligation to you. If you'd like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hand. Fully understand, of course, that some people have a trouble, you know, with the very concept of God. But you know, it's not a intellectual problem. You know, it's not. You know, some people, they ask me, prove that God exists. But that's an impossibility. It's, like trying to prove that which is blatantly obvious. It's not that men and women don't get it. It's not a mind problem. It's not a problem of the intellect. It's a problem of the heart. Because men's hearts are so hardened, depraved, emptied, that is, of any goods as God, you know, that's why they reject any notion, concept of God. The problem's a spiritual one, and it can only be resolved spiritually. I can give you rational arguments, but I can't argue you into faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Rational arguments, all the smartness and all the cleverness in the world won't do that. It's a heart problem, spiritual problem. That's why Jesus says that a man must be born again to even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. So it's a heart problem. And of course, another reason why men and women will embrace any kind of religion, Islam, Romanism, Western society, you name it, any religion you like, but not the gospel. Why? Because the gospel addresses the issue. It addresses the heart, deals with the heart. And all the religion in the world won't mend your heart. You go to the mosque, the synagogue, the temple, you name it. But that won't change your, they won't change your heart. They'll tell you, do something. Do, do, do. Religion's all about your doing. And God says, nobody but nobody ain't going to get right with me by their doing. He says, I must do it. God must change your heart. And it's the gospel, my friends. That's the means by which God changes the hearts of men and women. Takes the heart of stone out of them and gives them a heart of flesh, gives them a new heart. Presently, naturally speaking, born into this world, all of us, we've got hearts that hate God and hate our neighbor. That's not my opinion, that's God's opinion. Read for yourself and see, right? Hating God and hating our neighbor. In the gospel, by the application of the gospel, faith in the gospel, God takes that heart out of men and women and he gives them a heart that loves him, loves God, and loves their neighbor. And that, of course, is the sum and substance of God's law, which God requires of us all, is that we should love God and love our neighbor. That's what you were made for. But of course, we are, you know, nonetheless, we've got these hearts. Hardened heart, you say, well, where did I get it from? You got it from your mother and father. They got it from their mother and father. Who got it from their mother and father? All the way back to the first man, to Adam, who wasn't just the first man, he was the head of the entire human race. And when he sinned and brought sin into the world, he brought it down upon the entirety of humanity. So that, naturally speaking, we're conceived in sin, we're born in sin, and we live and die in sin, but by the grace of God in the gospel, it is your only hope of having that heart mended, that hardened heart softened, that hardened heart broken and brought to a knowledge, reconciliation, that is, right with God for time and for eternity. I suggest to you, my friends, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, in all the world today more important than you obey God in the gospel than that you live. More important even than that, the things that sustain your life. Nothing more important, I tell you, than that you obey God. What's the obedience that He requires of you today? It's this, my friends, that you believe the gospel, that you hear and obey the call of the gospel, and that call is repent ye and believe the gospel. I will tell thee that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, coming not as a savior, but coming to judge, coming for His own people, but coming to judge in righteousness, in perfect righteousness. Coming, says the Bible, with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all those who do not know God, who don't know Him, that is, in terms of a covenant of friendship, reconciled to God. You can know about Him, you can read the Bible and get to know about God, but knowing Him personally, relationally, that's a whole different thing, only through the gospel. To take vengeance upon those who do not know God and who obey not the call of the gospel, that is to repent and believe the gospel. And so every time that you hear the gospel, you hear that call, even if that's all that you ever heard, it would be enough. You are without excuse, says God, because of all the things that God has made. You have absolutely no excuse for not knowing that God is. Men and women call themselves atheists, but there is no such thing, says God, on the planet. He says, on the contrary, He says, the fool says in his heart there is no God. Yeah? So don't call yourself something that you're not. Don't go about calling yourself an atheist, because you're not. Call yourself what God calls you, a fool. But again, He's not talking about intellectual. He's talking, my friends, about corruption, that hardness of heart again, that depravity of heart and mind. It's that kind of person who says that there is no God, says God. He says that because of all the things that God has made, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Without any church, without any Bible, without any preacher, just by what God has made, brought into being, that alone, says God, leaves you without any excuse. Because you know that God is, and you know the righteous judgments of God. That is to say, you know that you're a morally responsible creature, and you are morally responsible to God. And one day you'll have to give account to God. You'll have to stand before Him in accountability and without any excuse in time or eternity. And of course, while hearing the gospel, having heard the gospel and hearing it countless times, my friends, each and every time that you hear it, your accountability becomes even greater. Greater will be the judgment upon those who have had and who have heard the gospel. So today, my friends, today I urge you that you harden not your heart, as many, many people do. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in chapter 7, you have that very exhortation, if you like, admonition today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, because that's what men do when they hear the gospel. Their hearts are already hardened. Their hearts are already emptied, depraved, destitute of any good whatsoever. But my friends, in hearing the gospel, that enmity in their hearts against God, hostility in their minds, because they do not like what they are hearing, do not want to hear what they need to hear, what they ought to hear, well, they simply harden themselves some more, and they make themselves worse than ever they were before. So God's admonition for you is, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The voice, my friends, the voice of God in Jesus Christ comes to you through the preaching of the gospel. Foolishness, says God. God acknowledges. You laugh, you mock, you sneer, maybe in passing, maybe just in your heart, maybe not verbally. But I see it, I know. But so does God, my friend. And he acknowledges in his word in the Bible, he says, foolishness. The preaching, he says, of the gospel is foolishness, foolishness to those who are perishing. It's an evidence, says God, that you are perishing when you see, when you understand, when you perceive what I'm doing here today, preaching the gospel to you. You see that as foolishness. God says, that's a proof, that's an evidence that you're on the pathway to perdition. So, I say to you, do not harden. God says to you, his voice, not mine, it's what God has ordained for the saving of the souls of men and women. It's the method that God himself invented, not me. I'd rather be sat at home in front of my television set, a computer screen, or reading a book. I'd rather be sat in my armchair in the living room than standing here in front of you with your hostile mind. Not my invention, God's invention. God's means that he himself has comprised, the means by which he has ordained that men and women would hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and be saved. So you see, my friends, when you hear a gospel preacher, and I mean a gospel preacher, one who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ truly and faithfully, well, you're hearing the voice of God. You're hearing the voice of God. And so you harden your heart, then you're hardening yourself against God and against his voice. Jesus, he says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then contrary to that, he said to the Jews at that time, he says, you don't hear me, you don't hear my voice. Why? Because you're not my sheep. You belong to the goats. So which are you, I ask? Goats or sheep? Goats to the left, goats to everlasting destruction, and the sheep to everlasting life to the right. But my sheep, says Jesus, they hear my voice. They don't just hear the voice of a preacher. They hear God's voice in the preaching of the gospel, calling them. And his sheep, they hear his voice, and they follow him. They come to him, they trust in him, they repent of their sins, and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they receive the very thing that he promises them, eternal life, salvation, my friend. But as you harden your heart some more, well then, my friends, all you do is put distance, further distance between you and your Maker, between you and God. So the admonition is, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It's the voice of divine authority. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, God manifest in the flesh. See, here's the thing, the job is so big, you know, a massive job to save a bunch of people out of the human race. Not everybody. God has his own chosen people in the world, and God saves his people, sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to save his people. Yeah, but it's a mammoth task just to get one sinner out of that depraved, unbelieving condition. It's a mammoth task. It takes a miracle. So no good sending another Moses. No good sending another prophet. No good sending another apostle. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God himself had to come, my friend. Came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Wow. To be born of a woman, to live that blameless life, to die on that cross, shed his blood, and take the wrath of God upon himself, and to rise again from the dead. My friends, that all done by God the Son. So when you hear the gospel, and you hear the overtures of the gospel, when you hear the call of the gospel to repent and believe, you're hearing the voice of divine authority. So when you say no, and you harden your heart some more than ever before, you're hardening your heart against divine authority. And I assure you, the end of that will not be happy. The end of that, rather, I tell you, will be tragic. But my friend, the call of the gospel, to repent and believe the gospel, is the voice of salvation. It's the voice of salvation. It's the very voice that would save you, deliver you from your sin, that sinful state and condition in which you are conceived and born, and in which you live, and in which you will die, but by the grace of God coming to you in the gospel and saving you. Because if you never hear the voice of God, you will never be saved. His voice is a saving voice. Sent his son into the world for that very reason and that purpose, that men and women might be saved, might be reconciled to him. In obeying the call of the gospel, that is, coming from their sin. The Old Testament we read, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And he comes near to you, so very near to you, in the preaching of the gospel, with the mass message of salvation. Here is my son, the promise, he says, here is my son, you believe on him, you receive him, and you receive my salvation, the forgiveness, my friends, of your sins, pardon, divine pardon. There is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. It is, my friends, a wonder, I tell you. No, not everybody's saved. Not everybody hears the gospel. Not everybody gets to believe it. Not everybody's given the faith to be saved. Only some. Only those whom God has chosen. But I tell you, it's a wonder. It's a wonder that any are. But of course, my friends, there is forgiveness with God. That's an amazing thing in itself. You know, think about it. Here you are, not just conceived and born in sin, not just a sinner by nature, but out of that filthy nature of yours, think of all the lusts, huh? Think of all the evil lusts that have come out of you since the day that you were born. Think of all the thoughts, evil, wicked, black thoughts that have come out of that simple, polluted, squalid, simple mind of yours. Think of all the acts that those thoughts have turned into. Fornication, sodomy, lesbianism, theft, covetousness, blasphemy, idolatry, all pumping out of your heart day after day after day. Thousands upon millions and millions of sins that you're accountable for and will give accountable account for. Unless that is, of course, you're forgiven. Thoughts, words, actions, all of them, your very nature, accountable to God for each and every one of them. But the voice of salvation comes to you because you're sin. Oh yes, it makes the world a squalid and dark place. It makes your society as it is today, fallen, broken, squalid, dark. But my friends, that's not the end of it. Death is stalking you day after day. It's sin's wages. One young lady once asked the question. She said, why do people have to die? Answer, not because they're old, not because they're sick or infirm, because they're sinners. That's the one statistic nobody argues with. Everybody dies. It's appointed unto man once to die. Divinely appointed. A day marked in God's calendar. A moment even marked in God's calendor when you will breathe your last and go out of this world. Appointed unto man once to die, says God. After that comes the judgment. Then you stand before God and you give account for those sins. Those squalid lusts and dirty deeds. Every one of them, you give account all. Even your every idle word, says Jesus, you'll give account of in that day. So salvation, my friends, salvation from sin, from death. And then, my friends, the final consequence, because the grave's not the end of it. I guess maybe the morticians and the funeral directors never told you, but there's another door in the grave. That's not the bottom. There's another door into hell, my friends. Damnation awaits sinners. No longer believed in your churches, no longer proclaimed in and by your churches anymore. But the truth according to God's voice, today if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, but obey, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's the voice of salvation. Listen, hearken up. But the voice, my friend, of God is the medium. My friends, in the proclamation and the preaching of the gospel, there's a token, if you like, maybe, of God's favor to you that you still hear the preaching of the gospel. Or you can go, I tell you, to many, many churches throughout your land today, and you won't hear the gospel. You won't hear the things that you're hearing today. But my friends, perhaps maybe that's a token of God's favor to you. That still, even yet today, in the darkness and apostasy and unbelief of your land, your nation, that God is still raising up the servants and sending them into the world to preach the gospel. That you might hear the voice of God and that you might be brought by the grace of God. Because that alone, my friend, that alone will bring you to repentance. That alone will bring you to faith. Only by grace are men and women saved. Not by my power, not simply by my act of preaching, unless the grace of God comes to you. The power of God, that is, to make that which I am telling you make it effective in your hearts and mind. Otherwise, it just bounces off you. Otherwise, it just bounces off your hardened hearts. They're like marble. They're like stone. And unless God softens them, unless God by His grace melts your heart, breaks your heart, and brings you to that place of being able to receive the call of the gospel and turn from your sin, repent of your sin, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not and cannot be saved. So today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. They're hard enough already. They're like stone, they're like flint, they're like marble. God, with his powerful, his mighty voice, who knows, maybe is somebody, man, woman, or child, melt your heart today and bring you to those tears of repentance, so needful, so necessary, because you have offended the holiness and the love of God, your Maker, your God, and your Judge, whose very existence you deny in utter wickedness. Not because you haven't got a mind, not because you're intellectually stupid, but my friends, because your hearts are hardened. And it takes more than the voice of a preacher, the voice of God to break that heart. Take the voice of God, divine authority, I tell you, to melt your sin-hardened heart. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't make it worse to yourself. But the demand is that you should hear his voice. That you should hear with the intent of doing something about it. Not just in the passing, you know. Not just shrugging it off. But listening intently to what God says, not man. What God's word says to you. Listening to it with the intent of getting out of your sinful condition, with the intent of getting that heart of yours mended, with the intent, my friends, of it bringing you to that place of coming from your sin, believing what God says with regards to his salvation and his judgment, with the intent, my friends, of closing with and believing and trusting in the Savior, listening to what he, God the Lord, would say to your soul, with the intent, my friends, of hearing, taking heed to what God says, with the intent of seeking to understand it. But again, only God can give you the understanding. Because you walk on by, or you sit around, and you say it's just a myth, it's a fairy tale, it's nonsense, or maybe something even worse. Because you got no understanding. Because that's another effect of your sin, that your hearts and minds are darkened. You've got no understanding. I can give you the Bible, gladly, willingly give you a copy of the Bible. But I guarantee you, read it, you'll say, who on earth could understand this? This is like something from another planet to me. I don't understand it, because it's a sealed book. It was given to his people. It was given to those who believe in God, trust in God, those who are his sheep. Only God can give you the understanding. You see, the gospel, Christianity, becoming a Christian in the true sense of the word, I mean, it's a given, my friends. Everything is given. The word of God, repentance, faith even, to believe on Jesus Christ, it's given. Understanding is given. Unless God gives it to you, you get nothing. Nothing at all. It's the gift of God. And he gives it to whosoever he pleases to give it to. But if you listen with the intent of understanding, it might just be that he will give you that understanding that you need to enable you to grasp, to get it. the depravity of your soul, your condition, and your need, your desperate need of Jesus Christ to be your Savior and to be your Lord. Hearing, my friends, with the intent of believing. You know, Jesus, he talks about those who take the kingdom of God with violence. You know, that's the way to get into the kingdom of God. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to hear this. And I'm going to hear it again and again until I get it. Go home. Shut your doors. Get on your knees with an open Bible and cry out to God and give him no rest until he comes to you. Don't take no for an answer, but cry and cry and cry until he comes to you with salvation, until he comes to you with the pardon, until he comes to you and mends your sin-hardened heart, until you know that you've been born again and that you've got eternal life in your soul. That's how you listen. That's how you hear. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. But just paying lip service to God, and not in a wink, that will never get you out of your sin and never get you into the kingdom of God. So today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but listen, hear, with the intent of understanding, with the intention of believing, and with the intention of obeying the call of the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. With that intent, bent, heaven bent on turning from your sin. Heaven bent and turning from all that you know to be wickedness and contrary to God's law, his commandments. Hearing with that intent, my friends, of repenting, of turning, turn from your sin. But in turning from your sin, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who alone can save you, who alone died for sinners, who alone gave himself up to the death of the cross, who alone shed his blood in order that sinners might be washed, might be clean, might be made right with God. With the intent, my friends, of believing and of obeying the gospel. Let the wicked forsake his way. Your pattern of living in unbelief, in godlessness, in unholiness, in wickedness. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, the wrong thinking that leads to the wrong living. Forsake it. Turn from it. Flee from it, says God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, to his Maker, and he will pardon abundantly, show mercy, the merciful kindness of God towards those who obey the call of the gospel, who do not harden their hearts. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The time, today, my friend, today is the time. Today, says God, today you're hearing the gospel, tomorrow you might not. You might never hear it again, but today you hear the gospel, you hear the call of the gospel, you hear the admonition, the command, repent ye and believe the gospel. Today you hear it. And so today, says God, harden not your heart. Why? Because the time is short, says the Bible. We're in the last of the last days. soon, my friends. The time, the times we see, times getting near, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to judge the world in righteousness. Can't you see the growing intensity of wickedness, of evil in your world and society? Falling away from faith, all just as God has recorded in His Word, giving us, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, when Jesus will return again. But my friends, we are given the sign. We are told to watch out for the signs of the time. We are told to discern the times in which we're living. You're living in the last of the last days. The judge is already by the door. Who is the judge? Jesus. He has been appointed to judge the world in righteousness as a result of His resurrection from the dead. He's the appointed judge. If He's not your Savior, if He doesn't save you, if He doesn't rescue you, if you don't hear His voice and obey His voice, my friends, the day is coming shortly when He will be your judge. You'll stand before Judge Jesus and give account even of today when you heard the gospel, but you hardened your heart, would not obey the call of the gospel. The time is short. The time is uncertain. You don't know. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what next week will bring. All kinds of plans. All kinds of schemes. Maybe perhaps you look forward to retirement. Gold-plated pension that you may never see. Maybe perhaps, who knows, somebody under the sound of God's voice today in the preaching of the gospel, maybe perhaps you won't even see tomorrow. Who knows, but maybe this your last day. How many people, I ask you, in the past, how many people today get up in the morning, put their shoes on and lace them, but they won't take them off tonight? The undertaker will take them off. But they never expected that. They never expected that. So uncertain, my friend. Tsunamis, earthquakes, accidents, cancer, COVID-19, COVID-20 maybe, who knows? My friend, the day, the time, I tell you, is so uncertain. You just do not know what one day will bring forth. So I urge you, my friend, hearten your soul. Eternal destiny hangs upon your heart, attitude, and reaction to the gospel, God's gospel of grace, that would save you, would give you eternal security, where you're to hear, harden not your hearts. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. But not to the goats. Not to the goats. They don't get eternal life. They get eternal death. That very state and condition in which they come into the world. Not life. Not life. There's no life apart from God. There's no life apart from Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. No life without Him. You come into the world in a state of death. And you exist. You exist in a state of death. And then your time is up and you go out of this world. And that state of death continues for all eternity. you never ever got to live. Unless that is the Son of God resurrect you from the dead. Because that's your state of condition. Dead in your trespasses and sin. Not a little bit dead. Not a big bit dead. Totally, absolutely dead. No spiritual life in you. No life of God in you. No love of God in your heart. Unless Jesus comes to you. Unless in the preaching of the gospel you hear his voice. And harden not your heart. But God gives you the grace. Time is coming, my friend. When time will be no more, when God will bring down the shutters market day to day. Of course you don't get what you want. Don't get what you want. You know, if the shutters come down, the market's over, you can come back on Friday. Market will be open again. Get what you want, all you need. But the day's coming, my friend, when God will bring the shutters down, just as he did back in the days of Noah. And Jesus tells us, as it was then, so it will be when he returns. God shut the door. The people were warned by Noah. Time and time again, for 120 years, they were warned, just as you're being warned today. But the day came, and Noah, family, entered the ark, and God shut the door. Then they were screaming. Then they were howling. Then they were battering on the door. Let us in. Too late. Too late, my friend. And the time is coming, my friends, when God's going to bring the shutters down on this world. And you know what the Bible says? Book of Revelation, check it out. In that day, he says, men and women, rich men, kings, all kinds of people will be crying for the mountains and rocks to come down and hide them from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb of God, that is. The wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Who would take your sin away today, cleanse you, save you from sin, death, and hell. But one day, you harden your heart and continue to harden your heart. One day you'll be faced with the wrath of that Lamb. Day is coming, my friend, and coming very soon, when time will be no more. Eternity. Eternity, my friend. In heaven. In heaven or in hell. A heavenly mansion or a hellish hovel. Some rather stupid, you know. Some rather stupid young people. I want to say to me, well, I'll be happy in hell. I'll be with my buddies, we'll be partying, we'll be fornicating, and we'll be drinking. All you want. All you want. All you want. You'll be more miserable than you ever thought imaginable to be. You'll be more lonely than you ever were, more depressed, more tormented than you ever were in this life. The flames, the fires of hell burn constantly, never, never to be extinguished, says Jesus. My friend, do you know why that is? Do you know why the fire keeps burning? Because it's fed fuel every day. Thousands, millions falling into hell day by day. Fueling the flames. Never runs out of fuel. Take care. Take heed. Today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Take heed that you don't become fuel for the fires of hell. Rather, that you should escape such an end, because that's the danger. That's the danger, my friend. The danger of losing your soul. What shall it profit a man, says Jesus? If he should gain the whole world and lose his soul. If you were to gain the whole world, what would you do with it? You can only be in one place at the right time. Or if you're given a 28-room mansion, what do you do with it? You can only be in one room at a time. Given all the money in the world, a Bezos and a Zucker, a wicked, evil Zuckerberg, maybe you could become one of them. Aye. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and at the end you lose your soul? You harden your heart. That's the end of you. That's the end of you. Your soul lost forever, never to be restored to God, to His favor, never to know life, never to know love, never to know freedom, never to know the grace and the kindness of God. A lost soul. The danger of continuing in sin, hearing the gospel, rejecting it, and abandoning yourself into more and more sin. And the more and more you sin, the more and more God gives you over to sin, gives you over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are disapproving in the eyes of God. Extreme wickedness, the sexual deviance and perversity that you see in your Western society today, that's where it comes from. It didn't come from you. God gave it to you. God gave you over to it because of the hardness and impenitence of your heart. It's the judgment of God upon you. Given over, because you don't think the knowledge of God is worth something worth retaining, holding on to. You discard it. You discard it. You walk away from the gospel. Harden your heart, and God says, okay. You want your sin? You want your sin? I'll open another door for you, and I'll even give you a push through the door. And I'll give you what you want. I'll give you your desires. I'll give you more sin if that's what you want. And He'll give it to you until you're absolutely and utterly ruined. If you harden your heart, do not harden your heart. If today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Dangerous thing to do, my friend. The danger of resisting in unbelief, resisting the call of God. The overtures of God, my friends, coming to you in the gospel, come to all, comes to the sheep and it comes to the goats. But in coming to the sheep, it saves them. Coming to the goats, it hardens them. Gospel, you see it. And the preaching of the Gospels sent to you for a twin purpose. It's sent to gather God's sheep. It's sent to save God's sheep. And it's sent to harden the goats. It's sent to fit them for destruction. But the question for you, my friends, is which are you? Which are you? Sheep or goat? And my friend, what will you do with the gospel? Will you harden your heart again and again and again until there is no remedy? Resisting the gospel in unbelief, it's all you can do. It's all you can do unless God gives you the faith. unless God gives you the gift. Unless God gives you His grace. My friends, nothing you can do. You talk about having free will. The only freedom and the only will you've got is to sin and then sin some more. Unless God saves you. Unless God melts, breaks your heart, and gives you what you need more than you need to breathe. And that is to obey the call of His gospel to repent and believe and be saved. Thank you, madam. Thank you. God bless you. The danger, my friend. Oh, the danger, I tell you. In a world of unbelief, in a world that's passing, the lusts of this world passeth away, says God. The fashion of them, my friend, it's all rubbish. It's all glitter. Yeah? A little bit of glitter and a little bit of light twinkling, and you're drawn to it like a moth to a flame. A world, it's perishing now, can't you see it? You live in a society in England that's perishing now, but soon to perish for all eternity, unless you save. Whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. But this world is passing away. Jesus tells us it's going to go up in flame. Because the world itself is filthy unclean. It's got to be cleansed. It's got to be washed by fire. And a new heaven and a new earth wherein will dwell only righteousness and only those who are righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's how you get righteous. How you get right with God. Faith, not doing, not religion, but the gospel, hearing the voice of God and obeying the voice of God, repenting and believing the gospel. For that's the command with the assurance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as many, many have done in the past and do so even today. A dangerous, dangerous thing to do, my friend. Today, if you hear His voice, the voice of the shepherd, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, obey Him. Do His will. Obey His admonition. Repent and believe the gospel. And be saved. And be saved. And be eternally secured. Because I give unto them my sheep. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never, never, never perish. So today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Harden them not. But repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel in order that you might be saved. Command of Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Like to have a copy of God's word, his written word. Read for yourself. Study. Meditate upon God's word. See that these things are so according to the word of God. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one. Freely offered to you. Freely receive the word of God. Sure, more sure word of prophecy. Word of God. You'd like a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you, Newcastle. Bless you in the mercy. Mercy I see upon your precious, never dying souls.